Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Your trainer, Melanie Cole, is here to motivate and help you perform. It's time now for Train Your Body.
Can you be addicted to food? Well, the science is now showing that yes, you can. And how difficult must that be to be addicted to something that you require not only every day, but every day, sometimes multiple times of day? My guest is Dr. Pamela Peake. She's an internationally renowned physician, scientist, and expert in the field of nutrition, metabolism, stress, and fitness. And she's one high energy lady. So Dr. Peake, we're talking about the hunger fix and this addiction and our dopamine response that's fueling this addiction. And I mean, dopamine is a good thing. It is. How do we break this cycle of addiction with the hormones that we need?
All right. So here's the deal. Whenever I, look at a way of approaching something like food addiction, as I've done with, so many other things that I've written about, I like approaching it in a holistic way, in a way that allows us to be able to chop up our little homework here into chewable bites. So I like to do mind, mouth, and muscle. And you've heard me say this before. So let's apply this to food addiction. When it comes to food addiction, one of the most powerful things you can do is to really strengthen your prefrontal cortex, because boy, you need that part of the brain. That's the part of the brain that's going to help you rein it in to maximize, optimize your willpower and really optimize your decision-making as well. So you make the right decision. It's like, no, I don't need that. I'm out of here. Okay? So believe it or not, one of the most powerful things you can do that is meditation. Science has now shown, I've showed this in the Hunger Fix in my book, science has now shown that specific forms of meditation, like transcendental meditation as well as mindfulness meditation, can really, really, really help you strengthen that prefrontal cortex. We've now seen through brain scans and other work that we actually activate that part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex, and it allows you then to be able to dampen down the stress and the problems with the other part of the brain, where you feel like you just want to cave to the crave, you want to just get into those cues. So meditation is very important.
And hey, you're talking about TM. I mean, that's from the 70s, but yet...
No, it's the hottest new thing right now. The reason why TM is a transcendental meditation is a force to be reckoned with right now is because of new science. See, it's really easy to study TM because you do your meditation twice a day for a specific period of time, usually 20 minutes each time. And because of that, scientists are able to really look at what happens inside the brain when you do that, especially with regular practitioners of this. And it's just a simple form of meditation, seriously. You don't do anything. You just simply be. You allow your body to transcend. And it's just sort of a really cool thing that you can learn. And if you want to know more about it, just go to tm.org. But, the other thing that allows you to be able to activate your prefrontal cortex big time is, you guessed it, physical activity. Let's go over the other M, muscle. In physical activity, we have now shown, and you've probably talked about it endlessly on your wonderful show, how the brain is affected when you do regularized physical activity. I don't mean the Olympics here. I just mean regularized, fairly consistent physical activity. What we've been able to find is that, yes, you do activate the prefrontal cortex, again, the smarty pants part of the brain, but guess what you also do? You induce neurogenesis. That means you actually make more brain circuitry. Well, who the heck doesn't want a bigger brain? Raise your hand. I want a bigger brain. That's why in my book, The Hunger Fix, one of my best mottos for the book was big brain, small waist. Because obviously with better circuitry, obviously with better health habits, like getting more physically fit and meditating, well, then guess what? You're going to be making better decisions. And then, of course, the third category is mouth. And in this one, you can forget about the stereotype of when you eat healthy, it's boring. Forget about it. What we did was we piled up with top culinary nutritionists to come up with some fantastic food plans and recipes, and there's a whole lot more on my website, to be able to help you to eat food that is tasty and delicious and wonderful and that will duke it out with the sugary, fatty, salty food combos so that you can switch off the false fixes for the healthy fixes.
Okay, so to recap, we have to train or work our prefrontal cortex by teaching it the willpower, the strength, with meditation, with relaxation techniques. We work our muscles, of course, with exercise, and we get ourselves in the best shape we can be. And then we work on our mouths and what we put into it to try and change what makes us salivate, correct?
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm telling you, you will have to go through a detox period, but the detox period is made so much easier when you really are able to combine better habits in each one of those three categories, when you're able to do more meditation, when you're able to take that walk every day or just keep up that consistent physical activity, when you're able to really plan and put, you know, a real effort into substituting the false fixes for the healthy fixes. But there's one other thing that's really important here, and that is you also have to really be careful about the persons, places, and things in your life that enable the food addiction in the first place. That's why I say, honey, change up your tribe. You know, who are you hanging out with? Are they just stuffing this thing toward you? Are they just, you know, queuing you out constantly with food that you don't need? Who needs that?
You know what? You're so right about that. You really are, because and even now they're proving that kids will start underage drinking early based on their friends. So we know this, but here's my question is, how do you know that it's worked? I mean, okay, maybe we can lose weight. You know, is there still that back of the mind? I really, really want that cupcake. And will it set you back again? Is this something that works permanently? How do you know if it works?
Okay, so here's the deal. The reason why you know it works is your ability to be able to rein it in when the cues are killing you. You brought up something in the earlier when you said, you know, this is real different than getting off, like, say, drugs or alcohol or cigarettes. You don't need any of those to live. You do need food. The question is which foods? And what you have to do is realize that it's a battlefield out there. You know, when you leave your house in the morning, you don't see big billboards with heroin syringes. You know, you see big billboards with, you know, hamburgers and junk and sugar and all the rest of it. You're cued out from the moment you take your first step outside the door. So you have to have a very strong mind. How do you know it's working? When you're able to make the right decisions, when you're able to create a life and an environment that supports all of this, make your success happen. When you surround yourself with the right support systems, whether it's your dog when you walk him in the morning, or whether it's just all your friends and family members that work for you, the ones that really work for you. And here's another thing. As I said before, on my website, drpeek.com, drpeek.com, take the quiz that was based on the Yale University research work, and this quiz will help you identify whether or not you have this issue or you're just on the launch pad for it. Our feeling is that the mass majority of people who are overweight or obese most definitely have this issue, and that, quite frankly, this comes in all sizes. I've seen athletes, I've seen people who are size 4s walk up to me and say, I just eat junk all day, but I eat a certain amount of junk just so I can have my hit all day long. I don't eat healthy food, and I'm trying to fool the world because I'm a size 4, but I know I feel terrible, I get sick all the time, I'm not fit, etc. So food addiction's a funny thing. It comes in all sizes and both genders.
And just because you eat that junk food in smaller amounts doesn't necessarily mean you're obese. So as you say, it can come in all sizes, shapes, and genders. You're listening to Train Your Body right here on Radio MD. Motivate and perform with the American College of Sports Medicine. This is Melanie Cole, and we're going to learn to break these food addictions one day, aren't we? Stay well.